Good day and welcome to this Trade Wars and What They Mean for Your Investment Strategy podcast discussion sponsored by PSG Wealth. Now, in the wake of escalating trade tensions, the global economy is feeling the ripple effects of tariffs imposed by the United States on key trading partners like China, Canada, and Mexico. These measures have sparked widespread concern, disrupting supply chains, fueling inflation, and dampening economic growth across interconnected markets. For investors, the uncertainty surrounding trade wars poses significant challenges, requiring a clear strategy to navigate the volatility. To help make sense of these developments, we're joined by Adrian Pask, who is the Chief Investment Officer over at PSG Wealth. And we're going to maybe get his sense as he provides expert insights into the economic impact of tariffs, the importance of staying focused on long-term fundamentals, and practical strategies to rebuild resilience in investment portfolios during uncertain times. My name is Leo Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and I'll be your host for what looks to be a really great discussion for today. Adrian, as always, greetings to you today.
Hi, Madiwa, and hello to all the guys listening in as well.
Adrian, very interesting times that we find ourselves, talking at this moment, just a few weeks after Donald Trump came back into office for his second term, and he started off with the bang, signing executive order after executive order. And as we've already mentioned, part of that has been around also rejigging a lot of the United States's posture to a number of different countries, whether neighboring or whether the ones that it has trade tensions with. And, tariffs seem to be a tool that the United States government is using right now to try and rebalance whatever they are trying to do from a strategic point of view. How do tariffs and trade wars affect supply chains, inflation, and economic growth?
Yeah, thanks, Madiwa. I think the minute we start to talk about tariff hikes, it obviously implies an impact on prices of goods that's being imported, and then higher input costs and the things being sold. So I think maybe by way of example, if you think of some of the tariffs that were put in place for metals and aluminium, steel and aluminium, is ultimately the auto manufacturers will be impacted by this. And ultimately, they sit with higher input costs. So these guys, from a microeconomy perspective, are scrambling, obviously. It's not a case of just paying higher tariffs and hope the consumer will absorb it. I think if you only think of that on that level, it's fairly naive, because obviously these manufacturers will be shopping around for alternatives. And even the consumers who ultimately buy the products will also be shopping around for alternatives. So a lot of change that we could see there. But it's also a question of cash flow for these institutions that are subject to higher prices, because it's not necessarily the case that they have the spare money around. So that introduces bottlenecks around, can they get to their order books on time? They might not have the cash flow to accommodate their original timelines that they envisaged, and they struggle to absorb the cost as they seek alternative suppliers. That being said, there will certainly be an inflationary component here, regardless of whether they can find alternative suppliers or not. The alternative suppliers in themselves will, we assume, also have a higher cost associated in any event. And that inflationary pressure can be quite material. And we've seen some reports come out saying that it could push up inflation by north of 1%. If we take inflation from 3 to 4% in the US, it's substantially above what their long-term targets are, which means we're talking about higher interest rates. And it wasn't too long ago that we were on a steady path of reduced inflation and lower interest rates, and the markets were quite, fond of the outlook for rates. We're now even ahead of the tariff talk. Inflation has been moving slightly higher gradually. It's been stickier. And now with tariffs on the cards, we're looking at inflation. I think the other thing that we should keep in mind overall, if the hope is to increase tax collections, that might also not be the case because we can just very simply see reduced trade volumes. As I say, there might just be so much money around and that capital is already being utilized for X amount of product. And we can't assume that X amount of product will now just be purchased at a higher rate. It might be a case that fewer products or input products are now being purchased with the same amount of money. So it's not necessarily the case that we'll see just higher tax collections. If we see lower volumes with higher tax rates, we might get to the same number in any event. So, I mean, these tit-for-tat tariffs that we see is really not good for businesses and consumers, not only from a price perspective, but also from a disruption perspective. And that's really where the bottlenecks start to come into the picture.
So Adrian, from an investor point of view and also how people position themselves when it comes to strategy, there's a number of different aspects, you know, that you've just mentioned now. And for an investor, you're probably having to pay attention to all of these different balls and have to juggle them in your heads. And then be thinking about a tariff that seems a bit far removed from where you are, but then consider some of the downstream effects to say, okay, something that's happening maybe against China or Canada, it's far removed from where we are, but perhaps there's that downstream effect when it comes to the supply chain. So a lot to think about. Why is it important to focus on fundamentals during times like this, during trade wars? Now, why are the fundamentals as important as they are?
Yeah, so I think, I mean, in that context for us, fundamentals would mean the specific characteristics of the companies we invest in. So looking at their specific financial positions. And they, I think the preference would be for companies with optionality. You wouldn't want to be exposed to someone with their backs to the wall, really being price takers in a situation like that. I think you need to focus on companies of high quality, companies that have a lot of spare cash on hand that would be able to absorb this as a temporary cyclical event. The other component is obviously operating margin. So businesses with very fine operating margins with all of a sudden higher costs associated to generating the revenue can be in a sticky position where if you've got businesses with higher cash, higher operating margins, quality businesses that can see the turbulence through, that's really important. So, and that's the fundamental focus that we think will be quite important during this period.
Perhaps as a quick follow-up, you know, to everything that you're saying, Adrian, is to say in the same way that as an investor, you are looking at the landscape and trying to position yourselves, do you think you're also looking at companies and how they're positioning themselves? Yes, when it comes to the fundamentals and how you're defining them?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it comes back to the point around companies with stronger pricing power. You know, when these businesses have these fine margins and they've got very set supply chains that haven't been challenged in a while, at least since the previous trade war, you know, it becomes something that you need to think of again. I think, though, that being said, there are examples of businesses who were quite proactive in this process. So if you think of businesses like Apple, for example, look to diversify their manufacturing operations, not purely just focused on China, but in other areas around Asia as well, has some better diversity amongst other manufacturing plants and therefore also the input cost. So those things become very important. But also I think on a sector level, I think it's a good time to be careful of businesses that carry a lot of inventory, businesses that don't have a lot of services exposure or IP as an asset in the business, but really closer aligned to physical goods and products, because that's the area that's likely going to be most vulnerable to these tariff hikes.
With everything that you're then saying, Adrian, we're talking about the different considerations that investors have. We're also talking about the fundamentals for companies, how they're positioning themselves, and you know, some of the aspects that might give them, I guess, an advantageous position in the market. From an investor point of view, how do you build resilience How can investors build resilience into their portfolios during some of these volatile times? It's a question that you and I talk about almost every time we have one of these discussions, and it's usually depending on what's being, spoken about. And it almost seems as if for every different headwind that's out there, as an investor, you kind of have to position yourselves or have something that's going to protect you, at least hedge your position, or at least protect your portfolio in one way or another.
Yeah, no, I think it comes back to the point of diversification. I think that's ultimately how you can best ensure that you have resilience in your portfolios. We've got to keep in mind that I think the discussion on tariffs is still very much on first round impact. So just understanding what the quantum is, understanding the landscape of who's being impacted. But that debate is on still very much focused on the first line of impacted parties. But there will most certainly be a second and third round of impacted parties as well. And it's impossible to plan for every eventuality or anticipate every possible outcome and foresee exactly every single entity that's going to be impacted and to which extent. So to try and mitigate some of those unforeseen risks or unanticipatable risks, you've got to diversify the portfolio. You've got to be careful that you don't over allocate to certain areas that might be vulnerable. It helps to have some margin of safety in the portfolio. Thinking back to some of the fundamentals that we discussed around profit margins and having cash on hand. But while you do all of this, you also have to make sure that you don't lose sight of the opportunities that are presented. So you want to be diversified, but you don't want to be sort of climbing back into your shell, because the one benefit of all the uncertainty is that there will be companies that will be indiscriminately sold off, and where the impact might be overstated by the market at the moment. And then you can find good quality businesses. There might even be companies that will be under pressure now, but they're ultimately still good quality businesses, and tariffs will come and go, and they become more and longer term holdings in the portfolio for the next cycle where there might be an unwinding of tariffs. So you already need to put your mind into that space as well and try to walk a fine line between thinking about the immediate risks, but also trying to think about the opportunities longer term.
I certainly understand where you're coming from, Adrian. And as you were talking, I was just thinking about what happened earlier this year, soon after Donald Trump took office, and soon after the World Economic Forum, actually during and after the World Economic Forum, around the AI model, DeepSeek R1, and how much of a panic that caused in the market. And yes, this is part of it's part of the trade tension discussion when we talk US and China trade relations and technology and all of that, not necessarily tariff related, but just thinking about what you said now about companies indiscriminately being sold off, because we saw broad market sell-off when it came to technology and AI-related stock and any adjacent companies and industries, that all fell victim to that loss in shareholder value. I think over $1 trillion. So I'm just thinking about and reflecting on how something like that, almost flash in the pan type of event, could cause such a panic. It causes a fundamental shift, but was so unexpected. It rattled a lot of market players. And then, people sort of had to rebalance and position themselves. So I'm just thinking about that as you are talking about how investors could possibly position themselves to win and have that resilience in the portfolio. And also at the same time, a conversation we've had in the past about how do you make sure that you as an investor aren't part of, the general panic and mayhem that tends to ensue during some of these unexpected events.
Yeah, no, I think that's 100%. I think you've got to be very mindful of the various things, and you've got to think quite deeply about the networking nature of a problem like this and how widespread tariffs can be, because you're really trying to manipulate prices at the source. And the impact of that decision is going to impact everything downstream. So it is quite disruptive, and it can change the landscape quite a bit.
Yeah, and it's going to be an interesting to watch going forward. And I think it helps us to round up today's discussion by asking, how can active management actually benefit investors in a volatile environment like this? How, and also at the same time, you know, how do we define, you know, being active when it comes to protecting yourself in times like these?
Yes, I think it comes back to our point earlier around focusing on the fundamentals, because that's primarily what active management does. And that's really important, because that's a really good mechanism for protecting yourself, is just going back to the businesses that exhibit the characteristics that will be more resilient during this period. And they are quite unique in nature. It's not many businesses that sustain higher operating margins, have a lot of cash on the balance sheet, can be quite flexible with their suppliers, have many options available. There aren't many of those businesses, which means, you know, you've got to move away from where the indices are. You've got to think about which stocks will do well in this environment. I think it's essential for where we are now. But also, there might be businesses that are really good quality businesses that have good fundamentals, but you want to reduce the risk as well. And I think the active managers can lean on techniques like putting in protection on specific counters or segments of the portfolio to hedge against specific risks over the short term. And then, as I mentioned, the other important thing, it's important to keep in mind that typically fund managers want to be positive over the long term. You can't just shield yourself and shy away from risks all the time. Sometimes these risks are prevalent, but at the same time, they're overly discounted in the prices of the shares. So you can buy into opportunities, and some of those stocks might still be a bit volatile over the short term, but over the long term, they yield very good results for investors. So that's also quite important to keep in mind. And it's just about being dynamic in a situation like this. You don't want to be sitting still, being passive, and just like adopting sort of a wait and see approach, and, you know, leaving the portfolio at the whim of whatever's being communicated on the tariff front. You want to manage, be in a position where you can manage the risks, and be in a position where you can be dynamic and add value by buying up opportunities that are being punished unjustifiably.
All right. So that's how we round up today's discussion. It has been quite an interesting one when it comes to unpacking some of the possible impacts of the tariff action right now, when it comes to tariffs that have been imposed by the United States on key trading partners, and how that is likely to affect investment portfolios right now and also in the coming months and years. Adrian just giving us some insight into how you know, tariffs affect supply chains, inflation, and economic growth, and also at the same time how investors can protect themselves from some of that volatility, and all of that being done with a focus on fundamentals, you know, during this time. That was one of the key themes that Adrian, you know, kept touching on, to say it's the fundamentals. And when he speaks about fundamentals, he's talking about, you know, looking at what's in the portfolio, how is it actually positioned, and also just making sure that even like the companies that one is invested in, how are they and their fundamentals looking right now, and how is all of that going to help you to build resilience in the portfolio so that you can weather some of these volatile times. And that look at the fundamentals, he said, is all part of the equation around the active management that may benefit investors during such a volatile environment. So that's it. You know, this is how we end today's discussion around the trade wars and what they mean for your investment strategy, sponsored by PSG Wealth. Thank you so much to Adrian Pask, who just gave us some insight into how investors can protect themselves. Adrian, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Madiwa, and thanks to the listeners as well.
So that's it. I've been your host, Madiwa Gavaza, of the Business Day and Financial Mail. Remember that you can subscribe for free episodes on iono.fm, Spotify, player.fm, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your podcasts.